this is Kendra Brodeen, founder and CEO of WomenLawyersOnline.com, and I am delighted today to bring you Susan Gelman. Susan has a long and distinguished background both in academics and in legal practice. She received her JD summa cum laude from Ohio State University, and she also has an MSW, a Master's in Social Work, from Columbia University. She is well known for work on hate crimes laws, and she's also a founding partner of Woolman, Genscheft & Gelman, where she worked as a partner until 2003 and was of counsel from 2003 to 2005. She also was a law clerk to Judge John Holshue and also to Judge Max Rosen of the Third Circuit of the United States Court of Appeals. And she was just describing to me her work with him and what a fascinating judge he was. So with that very brief introduction, I would love to just launch into our conversation, Susan. Thank you for being here.
It's my pleasure, Kendra.
And I apologize. We just suddenly started having a downpour, so if you hear a bit of rain and thunder in the background, it will just add ambiance to our conversation.
It was a dark and stormy afternoon.
Exactly. Hopefully there'll be no crackles on the phone line here. Okay.
It'll just add color.
I think it will. So, all right. Well, let's just jump right into the questions. I would love your thoughts, looking back on sort of your life, your professional and legal journey. Do you feel like you were always good at or adept at balancing your professional career and your personal life? Or do you feel like there was a pivotal point in time where you made more of a conscious decision to make that work better for you?
Well, I can't say that I ever had to struggle very much. I've had great good fortune. For example, we were able to, somebody gave us very good advice about child care, getting au pairs while the kids were growing up. And that just made everything so easy and smooth. And I worked for accommodating places that didn't make it that hard. Now, if I were more ambitious and I had been more interested in specific things I had to do or places I would have to move or money I would need to make more of, that might have made it harder. The one time it was really a choice was, you know, the kind of thing anyone chooses. Too many good things you have. You can only be one place at one time. I had an offer I really would have loved to have taken to be a regular professor at Florida State University Law School, and I just really liked it, and I liked the offer, and everything was nice about it, but we loved this community very much, and we didn't want to leave, and it was a difficult decision. But, you know, I can't say that that's a problem in balancing. It's just you can only be one place at a time.
Well, exactly. And, oh, goodness. And it sounds like you made some choices. Like you said, you just had to make choices along the way that that worked and sort of decline other things that didn't work for you. But you did that.
No, other things that did work.
Right. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
choosing between good things is what's
that's
hard.
True.
When you're choosing between a good thing and a bad thing, that's easy.
That's true, exactly. When there's two good things, yeah, how do you decide? Yeah, like you said, an abundance of riches. That's wonderful.
Right.
So along that way, what would you say that your biggest challenge or your biggest struggle was in terms of creating a personal life that you felt was meaningful and fulfilling, and also a professional career that was the same?
Well, it's hard to expand on what I just said before, and that's that there's so many interesting things in my personal life that I wanted to do that I didn't have as ambitious professional goals as I might otherwise have had. If I didn't have a family, if I didn't have a really great community, if I didn't have wonderful opportunities to travel, if I weren't interested in writing or sometimes teaching or sometimes working on political campaigns and issues instead of practice, you know, I don't want it to sound like I had to make, you know, anyone forced me to make dreadful sacrifices. It's just that other things were more interesting sometimes.
And so out of that then, what would you say would be your biggest lesson as you look at, you know, I mean, are there words of wisdom that you can share in terms of creating a personally meaningful life and also having, I mean, the professional, doing what you want to do professionally and finding satisfaction in your professional work as well?
Well, you know, there's probably a few aphorisms I could say, and it's not that they wouldn't be true. They're true for anyone, but you know, I would say take your work seriously, don't take yourself too seriously, and I would say also, and this is true about everything, everything looks different later. Everything looks different later. But the truth is, I think timing and luck and circumstance have so much to do with the choices you get to make and the choices you have to make and what you're going to do when you get there. You know, we've all had the experience where we think we know absolutely what we would do in some situation that would arise. And then it does arise and you don't do that because there's always some things you didn't anticipate. It just looks different when you get there. So there's only so much you can control. You know, I mean, it helps a lot to be lucky.
Right.
I'm sorry. That's not very helpful advice, but that's my experience.
Do you think that do you feel like there was anything, I mean, just probing into that a little bit, is there anything that you feel like maybe you did to put yourself in a particular position where you found yourself in the right place at the right time, or was it just sort of blessings from the universe?
Well, I'm sure most of it is blessings from the universe and from my parents and my husband and wonderful people that I've been lucky enough to be around. You know, I'm certain it always pays to be flexible. It always pays to be a good sport. I worked hard in school, mm-hmm. but I liked it. So I'm afraid I don't have any tricks. I can give you advice for school, for exams, for getting good grades. Answer the question.
Right.
That's my advice. Don't try to dazzle them with erudition. Just figure out what the question is and answer it. And you're done.
I think that's probably true.
It worked for me.
I think that's true in probably so many areas of our lives.
Answer the question.
Just answer the question, figuratively or literally.
Don't you say that to your husband all the time?
All the time.
Just answer the question.
That's what I'm so glad you just said that because I was going to say it. I thought, no, Kendra, don't say that. But it's so true.
Well, yeah, that's why people don't like being married to lawyers. But
it's
really more student advice than lawyer advice. My children, I think, would both say that it helped them through college as well.
Yeah. No, it's good advice. It is good advice. And
get in there and answer the question.
Can avoid.
What else can you do? I don't understand why people want to find some elaborate, intricate secret.
I know. Well, it's sometimes
just answer the question.
It is the simple answers. Sometimes, I mean, just you don't need to make things. Maybe that's life advice too. You don't need to make things harder than they are. Just sort of answer the question.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Well, okay. Here's something. Perspective helps. And that's why it helps the older you get. It's easier. Because the more experiences you've had, the more perspectives you're likely to have. You know, it's very nice of you to say I have this varied background. I could easily be described as a dilettante at the same time. But one thing it gives you is some perspective. And I had teacher certification, just, you know, elementary through high school teacher certification. Mm-hmm. So I've been a student teacher, done a little bit of teaching here and there and stuff. Well, that, I think, really helped me be a good student.
Mm-hmm.
Because I understood as a teacher what it's like to grade a test or something. So things like that, the more experiences that you get, the more perspective you have. My mother went to law. There's someone you should interview. My mother went to law school when she was 70.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
She's really interesting. And you think I have a varied background.
Sounds
and
like.
and she said that, you know, people thought it was so hard for her. And she said, well, in some ways, you know, physically it's more taxing. But the experience she had really, she knew a lot of stuff already that they teach. So.
Yeah. Oh, interesting. That is, wow. And fascinating that she would go back. But like you said, it's perspective. And I think sometimes just having that experience and then applying it in ways that you might never think you would. I mean, applying life experience to law school or things like that. But just having that depth of experience and perspective can really behoove you in a variety of ways, expected and unexpected.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
So are there other, I mean, we sort of touched on these, and I don't know if there's anything else you'd like to add in terms of, you know, just ways you managed to get it done with, you know, your family and with the things
you know, well,
in.
Maybe I didn't do such a good job. I have my children. But like I said, you have to be lucky. You know, well, you don't have to be. You have to struggle if you're not. But I was so lucky. I never had to struggle. I have a great husband, you know, who made it easy. He brought in enough money that I didn't have to worry whether I was bringing in enough money. I'm sure he would prefer that I worry about it a little more. But I had great support from everyone around me. I went to really good law school. I loved Ohio State. It's an excellent law school. You know, clerking for Judge Rosen mm-hmm. was the greatest experience you could ask for on every conceivable level. And I just got lucky all the way through. I had, thank God, healthy, easy kids who were nice and didn't have crises. Nothing bad happened so far, Kanahara. So it made it easy. You know, what was I, one cancerous tumor away from all that falling in? Sure. Who isn't?
Mm-hmm.
Or one traffic accident, or
right.
one kid with a really bad problem, or a divorce, or, I've been very lucky all the way along. Speaking of my children, that's my daughter calling me from upstairs. She can just forget it.
Oh, sorry, wait, just a couple minutes.
she could come down here and she's calling on the other.
I can hear. No, well, and certainly, like you said, there's those tragic things in our lives that, could wipe everything out. Who knows?
Right.
Like with a child or a spouse or an accident. At the same time, and I don't know that you would give yourself credit for this because you sound quite humble around these things, but there's something to be said for going to a lot. I mean, to the extent that we make our own luck in some ways, and maybe look back and feel it was luck, but I mean, just looking at your background, I would say that from the outside, it looks like you definitely put in some work. You were a good student. You got into and went to a great law school and did a fantastic job while you were there. Being summa cum laude and order of the.
You know
class,
what? I don't know how you lucky. How you. As far as I'm, you either got an A or I would flunk it. It's like I didn't understand any of it until I understood all of it. Once I understood all of it, I could get an A. So it was.
Right.
I don't know how people got a C in law school. If you don't get it enough to do better than getting a C, then how do you get it enough to get a C? But I never understood that.
Wow.
I'm sure it happens all the time. But
well, it does.
C's,
it does.
But, I don't understand how that got there. But.
Right. Well, but I was just thinking, as you were saying things, I mean, you found yourself in the right place at the right time, but it also, it just feels like you also did some things along the way, and I just applaud you for those things that maybe made it look in some ways like luck being in the right place at the right time, but also creating that in some ways by your own effort, mm-hmm. your own networking, connections, experience, things you've done that sort of led you on this beautiful meandering trail.
It was fun.
Experience. It was fun.
Well, I guess I did make choices. The choices were not to make more money.
Right.
Or to get more powerful or influential. I always joked about, I was a good law student and everyone knew it.
So. Yeah.
But I was,
yeah.
You couldn't get anywhere and everyone knows, So I said, I'm going to get out of this school and I'm going to get the lowest paying job they have out there. Wait and see. And I did. I turned down all the big firms and I went to, they shouldn't have hired me anyway. It was made offers that didn't fit in there and they knew it, So I clerked, but then I went to work for the state public defender.
Mm-hmm.
It probably was the lowest paid job anyway,
right.
But it was so interesting.
You enjoyed it, right?
Oh, what rewarding! I mean, it was great. It was fun. They do cool stuff. So.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's incredible experiences because, like you said, it's not always about the money. I mean, mm-hmm. some of those experiences you don't get paid much of anything for, but I mean, mm-hmm. you wouldn't trade them for the world either. What you see and experience there.
Yeah, but you can. You also have a more flexible life and,
right.
jeans to the office and stuff. It has its advantages.
It does. I mean, those
now,
are
if I were the
choices.
Sole support of my family, I probably wouldn't have been able to take that job.
That's right.
So,
Yeah.
But
there's choices we make. I mean, at the same time, you could have said, well, even though I have, I don't have to support my family, I still want to make, six figures a year going out of law school or whatever.
You're a big hotshot or something.
Yeah,
or if you want to become a senator or a judge someday, you really have to get out there and do other stuff.
Right.
But if you're not terribly ambitious, you have more flexibility.
Well, and to be able to, make those choices so that you could do the things you wanted for your family or have the professional flexibility to do the political work or the writing or the teaching or those
mm-hmm.
different things.
Yeah, it was great. My husband might want to tell you that it drove him nuts. I don't know.
So interview him next and see his perspective. No, well, good. This is great. This is just so interesting because you have, I think it is such a varied background and every step along the way, it's fascinating. I mean, the clerking and the law firm and the politics and the teaching. And
I had a good time.
It is.
I also write song parodies and,
you what?
And grow vegetables.
Oh, you
do other things too.
But I think there's that. I mean, that's what's created what feels like and sounds like your quality of life and the sense of fun and enjoyment that you've had is your willingness to take risks and to maybe do things that to other people looked sort of different, or maybe that they couldn't handle that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't always do what everyone else was doing. That's true. But as my mother, who's very wise, once told me, listen, a plum job isn't great for you if you don't like plums. You know, it's seductive.
Right.
It's hard to turn down those jobs.
It is.
At those big firms. But I didn't want to work there.
Right. Well, just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean it's the best fit for
but
you.
But you know what it's like when you're
exactly.
in law school.
Oh, Christ,
you know, you forget that there are other choices. So
right. Well, and I think we get caught up in law school. I mean, it just feels like that's what you do. I mean, you go and you do those interviews and you look for that big law job and all of that. That's what you do. If you're working on anything as a lawyer, that's what you do. And yet, maybe that's not the best decision.
Well, and also you end up, some people go to very, very expensive law school.
True.
And they don't have a choice.
Right.
They have to pay back all that debt. I didn't have any debt.
Yeah.
When I started OSU and I called up to find out how much the tuition, this is how old I am, she apologized to me because the tuition was going up to $2,000 per year.
Oh my.
And that was in the early 80s, which was the golden age for law students because the big law firms, you know, it was the yuppie era,
mm-hmm.
the big law firms were paying you a fortune for a summer clerkship. So I clerked like for 12, 13 weeks or something at a big firm in the summer. It paid for all 3 years of law school.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Well, you know,
yes.
tuition was low, and the pay was cheap for those summer jobs. Pay was good for summer
mm-hmm.
jobs. And paid for the tuition for all 3 years, and I didn't need a dorm room. I was married already and living out on the East Side. So, you know, I went to law school because it was a recession, and I couldn't find a job.
Right.
But I come from a family, my mother's family of lawyers. My mother is now a lawyer, as I told you. My brother's
right.
a lawyer. Her brother was a judge. All her cousins are lawyers. My cousins are lawyers. We're definitely a law family.
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually we end up in law school. When
so
people ask us, why are you in law school? It's like, because I finished college. You know?
Right. That was
what do you mean
do?
I'm in law school?
What do you expect?
Yeah, eventually we all end up in law school. I remember overhearing my daughter once when she was about 12. Somebody asked her, what did she want to be? And she was a big sigh. And she said, well, I'd love to be a psychologist, but I'm sure I'm going to end up a lawyer. She still doesn't want to be a lawyer, but she'd be a really good one.
I know.
A better one than I ever was.
She's got the skills. Well, Susan, it's been an amazing call, a conversation with you. So much fun. So much fun.
We never even talked about work. We just talked about, like, general...
It's true. It's
stuff.
True. I mean, we have a couple of minutes. Are there things, you mentioned that you have some tips and things for law students, but what about, you know, in the profession, what you saw when you were working in the firm? What tips do you have to give to women who are out there doing the work right now?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I can't think of anything that's specific to women or specific to lawyers. You know, there's stuff that...
Mm-hmm.
I wish I could say it doesn't make a difference, but it does. It's hard. It's hard to be... I mean, a lot of people do it. They do it better than I do. I am small, and I look young, and that is not a plus when you're practicing law.
It's tough, right?
It's very hard to get taken seriously, and what you get a lot of, and you know, I'm almost 53, and I'm not a kid, and still, you know, it's this feeling like, well, I have nothing against it, but I'm just worried that the court or the opposing attorney or the client or might not take you seriously, and you can't win. You know, that's the way it is. So you just have to put up with that. I think it actually has more to do with the issues we have about age than about
mm-hmm.
sex, but because the problem is that the premium we put on youth, but at the same time we don't take it as authority. So
isn't that interesting? It's
that's my current rant to anyone who'll listen these days. As old is good. You know, I just get mm-hmm. so tired of people saying, "Oh, you can't be old enough to have a son." Getting it's like, yes, I can, and you're not complimenting me by telling me that I'm not, because it's like a. I know you intend to be, but it's like a Valentine wrapped around a rock. You know, the basis for your compliment is a big insult to what I really am. So
right.
It's, you know, it's not good. So old is good. That's my new thing.
Old is good.
Website or something. It is good. Old is great. Are you kidding? Your kids are gone. You get to do anything you want. It's so nice.
And you've got that perspective. I mean, I think that's kind of to go back to what you said earlier. You have those life experiences and the perspective that makes everything just job.
I mean, it's like so sad. Hardly anyone feels that way. A friend of mine who's she's 61 or something was telling me she was really pissed off because when people get up and give her a seat on the subway.
Oh.
I'm thinking, they should get up and give us seats. Not because we're infirm. I can stand as well as they can, but damn it, I've earned it. Get up.
Move out of the way.
Get up and give me that young pipsqueak.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's the thing. Those are just those things that come with, you know.
Yeah, all the seat, damn right I won't. Give me your seat.
Well, I think that's a great way to, I mean, just a great way to think about it, that getting old is
well,
good.
Well, great. And for, at least, listen, like I told you, I catch every lucky break there is. Everybody wants to be me. I haven't even told you most of why it's so great to be me. I'm really lucky. But you know, old is even better than, everything's better every year.
Yeah.
Everything's better every year.
That's one of those things that I think people find hard to believe when they're, you know, say young, that it is better because we have all this, you know, hype in our minds about getting older or even, you know, when you have kids and they're little and you're so in love with them and people tell you, oh, well, you know, every age is great or you'll love it when they get older too. You're like, oh, I couldn't possibly. But until you get there, then you're like, oh, wow, they were actually right. That, I mean, it just, it is great. It is. It does feel
I know.
Great.
Well, I tell you, when I was, my kids were little and I was thinking, people were saying, oh, but I can't do this now because I have to be around my child because 4 is such an important age. 9 is such an important age. And I'm thinking, 35 is an important age.
Right.
40
yeah.
is important. You're not going to get to be 40 again. Enjoy it.
Right. Well, and that's,
the kids will be fine. Go do what you want to do.
That's true, though. I mean, that's true. Just, I mean, in terms of these words of advice, I mean, that's another one, is that there's something to be said for enjoying your own life and taking those moments for yourself.
Absolutely.
You know,
if there's a secret to happiness, I don't know if there is, but if there is, it's being appreciative.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's what it, I mean, anybody could make themselves miserable. There are people who could have my life and manage to make themselves miserable, God knows how, but they could. But, you know, that's foolish.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
wonderful.
You have to go.
Well, I do, but
you
this
can
is
call
great.
Me anytime you like.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'm looking forward to figuring out what the heck this is, but I'm sure
I promise
wonderful.
I'll explain it to you. But in the meantime, know that your words and this conversation will be shared with other women lawyers who I know who will be listening to this or reading words of the transcription and receiving this wisdom and feeling just this love of life that you have, that you share, this contagious.
Well, hello to all you women lawyers. Have a ball.
Yeah. Well, Susan, it's been great talking with you. I appreciate your time so much.
It's my pleasure, Kendra.
Well, with that, we'll close out our conversation with Susan. I hope you found something, be it through listening to the words of this call or reading them, that's been meaningful and that you can utilize in your life or in your law practice to make it everything that you want it to be. So until next time, this is Kendra Brodine of WomenLawyersOnline.com wishing you real success always and in all ways. Thank you so much for being here today. Bye-bye.